This is your Polycast for Thursday, August 31st, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio newsroom. On today's edition, a new leader for the Minnesota National Guard and a DigiKey expansion challenges Thief River Falls. A Ramsey County judge says the Department of Natural Resources violated the public trust and state environmental laws by allowing the overpumping of groundwater around White Bear Lake. The ruling comes after residents of the East Metro community sued over record low lake levels. Matt Sepik has the story.
In early 2013, White Bear Lake fell to a record low 919 feet above sea level, about 6 feet below normal. That left boats in the muck on the shore and forced a public beach to close. It also prompted a group of White Bear Lake residents to file a lawsuit. The lake is connected to the Prairie du Chien Jordan aquifer, and the plaintiffs argued the DNR allowed too many wells to pump too much water out of the aquifer, draining the lake. Ramsey County Judge Margaret Marinin agreed. She says the DNR knew as early as 1998 that reliance on groundwater in the Northeast Metro was not sustainable, but continued to issue overly generous pumping permits and failed to review the impact of all that pumping. Greg McNeely with the White Bear Lake Restoration Association says the decision vindicates all the evidence from hydrologists that the plaintiffs presented in court.
They can track who's using the water and how much. And it's not what you think, it's not an opinion, it's all science.
Marinin ordered the DNR to stop issuing new groundwater permits within 5 miles of White Bear Lake and to review all existing permits. She also says the agency must enforce a residential irrigation ban, no lawn watering, if the lake falls below 923.5 feet, and require well owners to come up with a contingency plan for switching to surface water. In a memo at the end of her ruling, Marinin notes that White Bear Lake's water level is back near normal thanks to heavy rain and snowfall, but that doesn't get the DNR off the hook. McNeely says if groundwater pumping were to continue apace, the next dry spell will bring another precipitous drop in the lake.
We've had going on 4 years of over-than-average rainfall, and some years are record. When it stops raining, the lake's going to go down.
In a statement, the DNR says it'll take some time to review the 140-page opinion and understand its implications. The agency has not said if it plans to appeal. Covering the environment, I'm Matt Sepik, Minnesota Public Radio News.
Governor Mark Dayton has named Major General John A. Jensen to be the new Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard. Jensen will succeed Major General Richard Nash, who's retiring at the end of October. During the announcement yesterday, both military leaders weighed in on some big issues, including Texas flooding and transgender troops. Tim Pugmire reports.
John Jensen has more than 29 years of National Guard service, including assignments in Kuwait, Bosnia-Herzegovina, and Iraq. The Iowa native currently serves as commanding general of the 34th Red Bull Infantry Division and as Nash's chief of staff. In a message directed to the more than 13,000 men and women he'll soon lead, Jensen promised to give his best.
I will work hard every single day to ensure that you have the resources and the support both inside of our organization and throughout the communities here in Minnesota to ensure that you are prepared and always ready.
In addition to readiness, Jensen said one of his top priorities is to bring greater diversity to the Guard with soldiers who mirror the community. His appointment comes days after President Trump ordered a ban on transgender military service, a reversal of a policy under the Obama administration. Jensen acknowledged Minnesota has an unspecified number of openly transgender soldiers.
We have supported them and we will continue to support them going forward.
Jensen said the Minnesota National Guard will follow policy and regulations, but he expressed unease about the pending change.
I have concerns as we appear to have one policy and now might be moving towards a different policy. I'm very concerned that we have a consistent policy with that. I truly believe this. Service should be open to everyone. Not everyone will select to serve, but it should be open to everyone.
Jensen's appointment also comes as National Guard troops from several states have been dispatched to Texas to assist with hurricane and flood recovery efforts there. Jensen stressed the need to be prepared for such disasters, but he deferred specific questions about a possible response to the current adjutant general. Major General Nash said Minnesota troops are ready to help, but Texas has not yet asked.
There's probably six or seven states that have sent soldiers and airmen and equipment to assist Texas. So until we're asked, and at this point, the adjutant general last night from Texas said, don't send anybody. We'll call if we need additional assets. So that's where they are at this point.
Governor Dayton said he's given advance approval to a Guard deployment when and if Texas requests help.
We have a joint partnership relationship with all of the states where if asked for this kind of emergency, we will respond, and we are prepared. And thanks to General Nash, the Minnesota Guard is prepared to respond immediately if asked.
Regarding the adjutant general appointment, Dayton said Jensen is superbly well qualified for the job. The governor said his pleasure in making the announcement was tempered only by his sorrow in having to say goodbye to Nash, who's held the position since 2010. Tim Pugmire, Minnesota Public Radio News at the Capitol.
Lieutenant Governor Tina Smith will be in Albert Lea today to discuss the Mayo Clinic's recent decision to end some services there. Catherine Richard reports.
Smith plans to meet with local officials and community members concerned with Mayo's decision to move inpatient care, intensive care, and birthing services to its Austin hospital. Smith and Governor Mark Dayton have both said they have serious concerns about the decision.
People throughout southeastern Minnesota have been paying themselves for superior medical care. In this case, anything that threatens that, you know, causes a serious question of the responsibility that Mayo has to the people of that region.
Local and state officials, including Minnesota's attorney general, are also scrutinizing the consolidation plan. Mayo says that it's had trouble staffing both the Albert Lea and Austin campuses and that the two are operating at a loss. Catherine Richard, Minnesota Public Radio News, Rochester.
Northwestern Minnesota is the birthplace of a few companies that took off in a big way, Marvin Windows, Arctic Cat, and Polaris. But another homegrown company is seeing a boom. With help from government incentives, Thief River Falls-based DigiKey is undertaking a major expansion that will test the capacity of a rural area and its labor force. Brian Baxt has more.
In about 2 weeks, DigiKey will hold a groundbreaking ceremony. But dirt is already being moved at the company's sprawling headquarters to prepare for the expansion. It's expected to add 1 million square feet to the electronic component distributor's global hub, more than doubling its size. Republican State Senator Mark Johnson represents the area and put DigiKey's growth in perspective.
If you think about the old Metrodome, that was 900,000 square feet. This is going to be, you know, 10% bigger than that.
But the real prize is the promise of at least 1,000 new jobs at a campus where more than 3,100 work already. That's in a city of about 8,800 people. When it was founded in 1972, the tiny company catered to ham radio operators with parts for telegraph coders called DigiKeyers. Now, it offers more than 6 million electronic components purchased by hobbyists and big manufacturers alike. 4 million packages rolled off DigiKey's shipping line last year alone. It runs a call center staffed around the clock with sales representatives who speak multiple languages. The company has grown into an international powerhouse in its field, on pace this year to top $2 billion in sales for the first time. At the same time, DigiKey Vice President Rick Trontvit says the company has taken pains to stay rooted in the city about 75 miles from the Canadian border.
We just have such a strong affinity for Thief River Falls. This is where our owner started the business. We think the secret sauce is our workforce. We really feel like that differentiates us in the industry. And so our real desire was to build here and to expand our footprint here.
The upcoming growth doesn't come without challenge. The first is finding enough workers to fill those jobs. Chet Bodine is a labor market analyst for the Northwest region at the Department of Employment and Economic Development. He notes that labor conditions in this part of the state are tight and unemployment low.
They're really exhausting, right, the readily available labor force, the low-hanging fruit, so to speak.
To confront the struggle now, DigiKey runs buses to Bagley, Crookston, and Grand Forks to ferry employees to the facility. Brian Homer is Thief River Falls mayor. He says local officials were relieved when DigiKey committed to expanding here instead of relocating.
Because we knew they were going to grow, but we didn't know where they were going to expand to.
The city's big challenge now is to ensure enough affordable housing for the new workers and to make the community a place where people want to live.
How do we revitalize our downtown? How do we attract people to that downtown location and provide them amenities that we're all looking for, you know, the things to do in the evenings, the maybe the shows to go see, the arts that's involved in it.
More directly, the city has a stake in DigiKey's $200 million plus build-out. Thief River Falls capped DigiKey's building permit fees. It created a tax increment financing district. It sold the company a city public works building next to the current DigiKey headquarters. And it helped secure a $1.6 million state grant for roads and other public infrastructure related to the project. The legislature also ponied up, including a $4 million forgivable loan and tax exemptions to the company that could reach $40 million over a decade. DigiKey's Rick Trontvent won't put a price tag on the total incentives, but he says the Minnesota expansion probably wouldn't be happening without them.
You know, we wanted Minnesota to take the first bite out of the apple, and we had other options. We did extensive research on other options in other states that could have worked for us.
Johnson, the state senator from East Grand Forks, says there was some grumbling from fiscal conservatives about the latest package.
They make plenty of money. What's the deal? We're really competing with these states that, like I said, have an investment package just waiting for a company like DigiKey to pop up and move.
DigiKey isn't going anywhere, and if all stays on schedule, it should be filling out its massive new space by 2021. Brian Baxt, Minnesota Public Radio News, Thief River Falls.
And that's your Polycast for this Thursday, your daily check-in on Minnesota politics. I'm Mike Mulcahy in the Minnesota Public Radio Newsroom.